I want to dedicate tonight's shiur in memory of David ben Pinchas, Eti Ehrenberg's father, whose yahrzeit was Pesach Sheni. So tonight's shiur is sponsored Le'ilui Nishmaso, his neshama should have an aliyah with all the limud haTorah, the special learning that we're doing on Lag BaOmer, his neshama should have an aliyah. So I'm going to share my screen with you. I have a little source sheet that you can see. Okay, you should be able to see it. And we're going to discuss Lag BaOmer. And I want to focus on some of the sources of some of the different practices that we're familiar with when it comes to Lag BaOmer. And we'll perhaps present a little bit of a theme that we can take away from Lag BaOmer. Lag BaOmer is a very interesting holiday. It's one of those holidays that if you are Hasidish, have Hasidic tendencies, I believe Sephardim also are very into it, so then it's a big day. You know, it's a big day, a lot of celebrations, people go to Meron, to the Kever of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and there's a lot to be happy about and a lot of festivities. But if you're a plain old Ashkenazi, you know, just a Kalta Litvak, as they say, which I am known to be, so then you kind of wonder, you know, well, what's this holiday? You know, what is Lag BaOmer? What's the big celebration? What are we so happy about? There are a couple of dates on the Jewish calendar where we think this. You know, Tu B'Shvat is another one of those days where, you know, Tu B'Shvat, okay, so I know I'm not supposed to say Tachanun on Tu B'Shvat, you know, but what else is there? What are we so happy about? What are we celebrating so much? And if you take a look in Shulchan Aruch, which of course is the Litvak's go-to sefer when it comes to, you know, halacha and practice and Jewish practice. So there's very little about Lag BaOmer. The Shulchan Aruch writes in source number one, Noagim Shaloli Histaper Ad Lag BaOmer. We know that we have the practice not to get haircuts. Baruch Hashem, many of us could use a haircut, you know, but we have this practice. We don't get haircuts until Lag BaOmer. And he says the reason why is Sha'omrim Sha'oz Pasku Milamos. They say, it's very interesting, they say, right? They say that the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, who died throughout this time period, as we know, stopped dying on Lag BaOmer. Okay, so the Shulchan Aruch continues that really you should wait until Lad, until the 34th, and as we know, that's the Minog of Sfardim, to wait until the 34th day of the Omer to cut their hair and to shave. But Ashkenazim, as the Rama writes, have this practice of doing it on the 33rd day. We don't cut our hair and shave tonight, but we wait until tomorrow after sunrise, Miktzas Hayom Kekulo, and then we can get haircuts. And the Rama writes, Mistaprin Biyom Lamed Gimel, right, that we have this practice of getting haircuts on that day, umar bimbo ktsas simcha, and we have a little bit of added enhanced joy on Lag BaOmer, ve'in omer bo tachanun, and we don't say tachanun on Lag BaOmer. Also another expression of a joyous day, we don't say tachanun. I guess it also depends what day it is. If it's you know, tomorrow is a Tuesday, so that's an expression of our joy. Perhaps if it was a Monday or a Thursday, then maybe that would be a cause of joy, not saying Tachanun. But here it's an expression of our joy. Okay, so we know Talmidim Rabbi Akiva died throughout this time of Sfiras HaOmer, and the Shulchan Aruch says that She'omrim, he says they say that they stopped dying on Lag BaOmer. That's very interesting. Where did the Shulchan Aruch get this from? Who says this? It's not a common phrase in Shulchan Aruch, by the way. Shulchan Aruch rarely says something like this, She'omrim, you know, quoting those that say. Who are these mysterious people who say this? So if you look in the Gemara, which describes this story of the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva who died during this time, the Gemara actually does not identify exactly when they died. The Gemara says, V'kulan meisu b'perekecha. This is source number two, the Gemara in Yevamos on Daf Samach Beis. V'kulan meisu b'perekecha. The Gemara says they all died during one time period. But the Gemara doesn't say exactly when it was. At the end of the Gemara, so the Gemara says, quotes a braisa, Tana kula mesu mi Pesach v'yad atzeres. It says they all died from Pesach until Shavuos. Pesach until Shavuos. But that's all we know. We don't know anything more than that. We don't know exactly. Pesach until Shavuos, we know is, you know, it's 50 days, 49 days. Right? So we don't know exactly when during that time period they died. We just know that they died between Pesach and Shavuos. That's all the Gemara says. So comes the Meiri, one of the Rishonim, comes the Meiri in source number three. He was one of the French Rishonim, And in that Gemara in Yevamos, he comments and he writes, V'kabbalah b'yad ha-ga'onim. He says there's a tradition. There's a tradition that the Gaonim have. The Gaonim were the sages that preceded the Rishonim, that came before the Rishonim. So he says we have the Gaonim had a tradition. Shebiyom lamed gimel ba'omer paska hamisa. They had a tradition that the plague stopped on the day of Lag Ba'omer. That's the tradition that they had, and this is the source for the Shulchan Aruch. And this is what the Shulchan Aruch is referring to when he says sheomrim. They say that they stopped davening on Lag Ba'Omer. What do you mean? What does he mean that they say? Because there's no source for this. It doesn't say anywhere in Shulchan Aruch. I'm sorry, in the Gemara. There's no actual concrete primary source that they stopped doing on Lag Ba'Omer. The Gaonim had this tradition. So since the Gaonim had this tradition, he says, they say refers to the Gaonim. That's what we're talking about. So that's the tradition of the Gaonim, quoted by the Meiri, and then later quoted by the Shulchan Aruch, that they stopped dying on Lag Ba'Omer, and that's the source of our Simcha. Now it's interesting, because not everybody agrees that this is the reason why we're happy. In fact, the Chassam Sofer, who lived during the 18th, 19th century, Germany, Hungary, so the Chassam Sofer himself kind of wondered, the same question, what's the great simcha of Lag Ba'Omer? In fact, he said it's kind of strange to create a yontif. You're creating a holiday where there's no mention of it in the Gemara, right? He writes, v'lohuskar b'shasu poskim b'shum makom. There's no mention of Lag Ba'Omer in the Gemara anywhere. You look at the Rishonim, there's no mention of it. He says we have a custom of not fasting on Lag Ba'Omer. We have a custom of not doing hespedim, not eulogizing people on Lag Ba'Omer. But that's it. V'tayma gufa lo yadana. He said the actual reason why we're so happy, I don't know. I'm not 100% sure, writes the Chassam Sofer, why we're so happy on Lag Ba'Omer, why we have these customs, not to fast and not to give hespedim. I'm not sure. He quotes the Siddur Yaivitz, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, who wrote, it's Alpinister. It's based on Kabbalah. It's Alpinister. So we don't understand it. It's not something that we understand. It's Alpinister. It's based on Kabbalah. And then he quotes that it might be based on a Medrash. The Medrash writes, Shemiyom Shekola Hachrora Shotziu Mimitzrayim, Holchu Gimel Yomim Belo Lechem, Yachakach Yorin Haman. And I think this may be what Rabbi Axwad was talking about, that the Medrash writes that after Bnei Yisrael came out of Mitzrayim, they had a certain amount of bread or matzah with them, and then once that supply was finished, they went 3 days without any bread. They complained to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought them the man. Im kein haya horadas haman biyom lag ba'omer. Ure'u yalasos lazeh zecher tov. So the Chassam Sofer says, you know what? He says, if you do the calculation, it would seem that the man began falling on Lag Ba'Omer. The man began falling on Lag Ba'Omer. Maybe that's the cause of our simcha. So it's interesting, because you ask someone on the street, why are we happy in Lag Ba'Omer? Everybody says, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Right? Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. So far, we haven't seen anything about Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Right? The Shulchan Aruch and the Meiri quote that it's because the students of Rabbi Akiva stopped dying. So that many people will suggest also. And the Chassam Sofer says, I'm not really sure. I think it's Alpinister. It's based on Kabbalah. But also, if you do the math, maybe the man began falling on Lag Ba'Omer, and maybe that's why we're happy. The first real source where we have a discussion of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai in the context of Lag Ba'Omer comes from the Chayei Adam, one of the great halacha svarim. He lived in the 18th, 19th century, one of the great halacha svarim, and certainly before the Mishnah Berurah came around. Now once the Mishnah Berurah came around, so many people began learning Mishnah Berurah. But before the Mishnah Berurah, many, many people learned the Chayei Adam. That was how they studied halacha. So he quotes another tradition, and he writes, and this is, of course, as we know, the source for the different minhagim of how to observe the avelos of Sfiras HaOmer. So many of us observe the avelos of Sfiras HaOmer, beginning with Pesach and ending with Lag Ba'Omer. That's based on the tradition that the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva died from Pesach until Lag Ba'Omer, and they stopped dying on Lag Ba'Omer, as we've seen in the Meiri, in the name of the Gaonim, and quoted by the Shulchan Aruch. But the Chayei Adam quotes another tradition that says, "V'lo mesu b'yamim she'ein omrim bo tachnun." So according to this tradition, they actually did not die for 33 days straight. They didn't die straight from the beginning of Pesach or second day of Pesach through until Lag Ba'Omer. But they actually died on all the days during the period of Sfiras HaOmer that we say Tachnun. But any day that we do not say Tachnun, so let's say during Nisan, or on Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, all of those days, they didn't die on those days. They didn't die on the days that we omit Tachanun. And he says, if you do the math, and you subtract the days that we omit Tachanun, v'imkein nishar lam gimel yom, you're left with 33 days. So there, you know, that means that it wasn't these 33 days specifically, but it was a general 33 days. And that's why some observe the morning customs, you know, towards the end of Sfiras HaOmer, not towards the beginning, but that explains the different minhagim. But here also, if you skip to the end of the paragraph, so he writes here, that why are we so happy? Milvad b'lag b'omer noach in heter. He says lag b'omer is a day that nobody observes avelos. Even those that are keeping quote unquote the second half of Sfira do not observe any avelos on lag b'omer. Why? Shehu yom hilula derashbi. It's the day. It's the hilula. Right. This is already a word that we've heard in modern day society. But it's the hilula of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai ulichvodo noach in ktsas simcha. And in his honor, in the honor of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, we have a little bit of joy, a little extra simcha on this day. What the Chai Adam means is that today was the Yahrzeit. So we have a tradition, again a Masorah, it's a Kabbalah, that today was the Yahrzeit of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. And because of that, we have a little bit of a celebration. Now it's a little bit strange to have such a celebration on a Yahrzeit. Usually a Yahrzeit is a somewhat somber occasion. You know, you remember the one who's passed. Sometimes we sponsor a little tikkun. People have a l'chaim, you know, that the neshama should have an aliyah. But to sing and dance and all this celebration on a yahrzeit is a little bit strange. We don't find that, you know, when it comes to any other yahrzeit, that you have such joy and such ecstasy on a day of a yahrzeit. So it could be related to something we'll discuss in a moment. About Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai revealing, you know, the secrets of the Torah. That's a possibility. It also could be Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai survived for a very long time in the cave. And that could also be a cause for celebration. We're not, of course, Chas v'Shalom celebrating his death, but we're celebrating the miracle of his life. That's really what we're celebrating. We commemorate it on his Yahrzeit, but we're really celebrating the miracle of his life. Many of us are familiar with the Gemara in Shabbos, which is on Daf Lamed Gimel. I brought the Gemara here. We're not going to read, we don't have time to read the whole Gemara. But of course, the Gemara, you know, has the story of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai got himself into trouble by criticizing the Roman government. The Romans were in charge of Eretz Yisrael at that time. And he criticized the Romans and felt that a lot of the things that they were doing were for their own good. They were being selfish. And the Romans got wind of this. And they decided they were going to execute Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and his son ran away. First they went into the Beis Medrash, and then they realized they might be found there, so they ran into the cave. And that was this is the famous part of the story. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and his son ran into a cave. And they remained in the cave for 12 years. During that time, the Gemara says they didn't do anything except for learn and daven. That's all they did. Right? It was just the two of them, and they just learned and daven. That's what they did all day, so it was an incredibly holy experience. And they got obviously very close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara does say there was an ace, and that's what and a carob tree grew outside of the cave, and that's how they ate, and they have a spring of water, and that's how they drank, and some have the custom to eat buxer, you know, on Lag BaOmer in memory of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai's nace. The Gemara then says that they came out of the cave. The Gemara says Eliyahu HaNavi came and told them it's time to come out. The Caesar died, the Gezerah was batel, and it's time to come out. So they came out of the cave, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and his son, and the Gemara is a very fascinating exchange. The Gemara says that they come out, and they see from people plowing, sowing seeds, planting crops, and they're besides themselves. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, and keep in mind, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and his son just spent 12 years uninterrupted Torah and Tefillah. That's all they did. Completely spiritual existence, fed miraculously by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They come out and they see people living a normal life in this world, working, plowing, planting, and they can't understand it. And they say, "Manichin chaye olam ve'oskin b'chaye shah." These people are abandoning the eternal life. The eternal life, of course, is the life of Torah and Tefillah, and they're being involved in just the temporal life of this world. The temporary life. What's going on? And the Gemara says something fascinating. Wherever they looked was incinerated. They were so holy. They were so kadosh. wherever they looked was incinerated because their gaze was a critical gaze. And a baskol came out, Yatzis a baskol v'amr lahem, l'hachriv olami yitzasem. Did you come out of the cave to destroy my world? Chizru l'ma'arashem, go back into your cave. And they were punished. They were punished for this. They didn't have the right attitude and understanding of what people were doing. So the Gemara says they went back into the cave, they stayed another year, and they recognized, listen, even the Rishayim and Gehenim only stay a year. So we can come out after a year. Another baskol came out and said, okay, it's time to come out. When they came out, it says, whatever place, kol hecha dehava machi Rabbi Elazar, any place that Rabbi Elazar, who was the son, used to look and would strike that place, hava masi Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon would heal it. Rabbi Shimon would heal it. Amar lo, he understood, Rabbi Shimon. Bini, dai le'olam ani ve'ata. It's enough for the world if it's just you and me. Meaning, when they first came out of the cave, they didn't understand. They thought everyone had to be like them. They thought everyone had to be on their level. We were involved in non-stop, unadulterated Torah and tefillah for 12 years. Everyone has to be doing the same thing. How can they be manichin chaye olam ve'oskin b'chaye shoah? How is that possible? But after going back into the cave as a punishment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent them back, they understood, no, not everyone has the same tafkid in life. And even though we may be particularly suited for this type of lifestyle, for a lifestyle of just connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, pure, unadulterated Torah and tefillah, that's our job, that's our tafkid in this world. But at the end of the day, we understand that it's not for everyone. Dai la'olam ani va'ata. It's enough just me and you involved in this level of connection to Hashem. Everyone else, you know, can do what they need to do in order to live in this world. Fascinating, fascinating Gemara. And we'll see that I think it's an important thematic Gemara for what Lag BaOmer is really all about. If you look at source number 7, so source number 7 is the Birkei Yosef, Rabbi Chaim Yosef David Azulay, the Chida. And he also writes, he echoes this idea that the day of the Yortzeit of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is Lag BaOmer. And there's a Sefer Tov Ayin by Rav Alter Yechiel Naiman. And he says also that not just that the day of Lag BaOmer was his Yortzeit, but he says also that Lag BaOmer was also the day when Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai learned by Rabbi Akiva. That after Rabbi Akiva's the Gemara in Nivamos, the part of the Gemara, we didn't read the whole Gemara, but the part of the Gemara that we skipped, the Gemara says that after Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim died, he didn't just throw in the towel. He didn't say, well, you know, God, I tried and you killed all my Talmidim, so forget it. I'm just going to go into a different profession. He didn't say that. He recognized, this is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a plan, but my job is to teach Talmidim. And therefore, he got himself 5 new Talmidim. One of them was Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Another one was Rabbi Meir, big Chashava Talmidim. And the day that they began, the day that they started, was Lag BaOmer. That's the Kabbalah that he has. That was the day that they started. V'yar lahem shetach zorat Torah. That was the day that the Torah began to become revealed. The Torah began to become revealed after the death of Rabbi Akiva's students. And the Sfas Emes says in source number 9 here, Sfas Emes, the Ger Rebbe, says that on Lag BaOmer yecholim lizkos liyiras Hashem. Lag BaOmer is such a holy day. And perhaps something to do with this. It's because this was the day when the world was really desolate of Torah. Think about it, Rabbi Akiva, 24,000 Talmidim, and they all died during this one time period. The world, the Torah world, had been decimated. And here, today was the day, Lag BaOmer was the day, when Rabbi Akiva took 5 new Talmidim, began teaching them Torah. That's when the light of Torah re-entered the world. And therefore, perhaps it's a day that's specifically mesugal, specifically apropos to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a meaningful way in a day of Yiras Shamayim. There's a fascinating Bnei Yisachar. I'm not going to claim to understand everything that the Bnei Yisachar writes, but there's a fascinating Bnei Yisachar and this is really where I believe the real celebration of Lag BaOmer. Certainly on the part of Hasidim and Sfardim, really comes in a very, very strong way. So the Bnei Yisachar, in talking about Lag BaOmer, writes that Lag BaOmer was the day that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was nifter, the day that his yahrzeit. And he says, interestingly, he says, Umistama b'yom zeh nolad gamkein. He says, probably he was also born that day. We don't know. We don't know for sure what day Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was born, but he says it's likely that he was also born that day. Why? Because the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yoshev u'memale shnosein shal tzadikim miyom el yom. That real holy tzadikim, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu and others, real holy tzadikim were born and died on the same date, the same Hebrew date. So he says that if Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the holy Tanna Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, died on Lag BaOmer, then chances are, he says, chances are based on that Gemara that he also was born on Lag BaOmer. Okay, but then he writes. So what's so special about it? What's so special about Lag BaOmer? So writes the Bnei Yisachar that we know that it's not just Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai learned Torah on that day from Rabbi Akiva. That's certainly true, as the Tovayin says. But he says that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, as we know, was the father of what we call Kabbalah. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was the father of the Zohar. And according to many traditions, he was the one who taught the teachings of the Zohar, who revealed the teachings of the Zohar on the day that he died, on Lag BaOmer, to his Talmidim, and they were written down for eternity. And the Zohar that we have, the Kabbalah that we have, comes from Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And he writes, this is the Bnei Yisachar writing, he writes, Bo bayom shemaschil ha'or ki tov lahayir min ha'torah. He says the inner light, right, as the Hasidim say, the pnimius ha'torah, the inner light of the Torah began to shine on that day. And as we know, or in Bereishis, or is referred to as ki tov. Hainu tov yamim kodem matan Torah. And he says there's no coincidence. How many days before matan Torah is Lag BaOmer? Right, so Lag BaOmer, it's 33. We have to get to 50 is the first day of Shavuos. So how many days is that? 17. Tov Vav Beis. Gematria of Tov is 17. So it's Tov days before Matan Torah. Because the Or is Ki Tov. That the light of Torah began to be revealed on Lag BaOmer. Right, Vayar Elokim Ki Tov. Tov Yomim. Tov days. 17 days before Matan Torah is Lag BaOmer. Bo bayom nisgalis haneshama hakedosha ba'olam asher tigla derech or kitov ba'torah. This was the day that this holy neshama of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was brought into this world, also the day that holy neshama left the world, and this was the person, this was the neshama that revealed the inner light of the Torah. And this is why, according to the Bnei Yisachar, this is why we have the custom of lighting bonfires. We know it's a very popular custom to light bonfires, especially in Eretz Yisrael, in Meron, and other places. We'll see if we have time to talk about some of the other things. But the idea of the Medura, the idea of the bonfire, the Bnei Yisachar writes, not just a bonfire, Minag Yisrael Torah Hu, Lahadlik Neiros Umaros Biyomzeh, candles also. We light things, we light candles, we light bonfires. Why? Lichvod Ha'or Kitov, in the honor of that Or Kitov, of that light, which we call Kitov, as it says in Bereishis, Shemaschil Hisnotzeitz B'yom Zehayakar Lag BaOmer Tov Yomim Kodem Matan Torah, which began to shine forth on this day, on this holy day of Lag BaOmer. Ulichvod Nishmas Me'or HaTorah Botzina Kadisha, which refers to Rosh Hashanah Bar Yochai Shenisgala B'yom Zeh, this holy Neshama which came into the world, as he continues to say, just like he said in the previous paragraph. So that's also the source of lighting the bonfires. It's also interesting, and of course, no coincidence. There's no coincidences in Yiddishkeit that even in the Gemara, what do we find? That Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's impact on the world when he first came out was fire. Everywhere he looked, incinerated, right, burned. The fire represents the all consuming. So in that way, it was destructive. But in this way, it's in teaching the inner Torah, teaching the Pnimius HaTorah, teaching the Kabbalah, is that fire that's all consuming, that's illuminating, that's warming. That all consuming, illuminating, warming fire is what we're celebrating on Lag BaOmer. I think it's fascinating. We're going to skip a little bit. We'll see if we have time to come back. We're running a little short on time, so we'll skip some of this. But I think that, you know, there's a powerful idea here. Because when it comes to Kabbalah, when it comes to the Zohar, you know, the Zohar is one of those things that everyone knows, we don't know. Everyone knows, we don't really understand. How many people really understand Kabbalah? How many people really understand the Zohar? A handful, right? A small number, a small select group of tzaddikim, of holy people, of Talmidei Chachamim, who know Nigla and learn Nistar. They're the ones who really have their finger on the pulse of Kabbalah. They're the ones who really understand. We can hear ideas here and there. We can appreciate some more than others, appreciate others less. But in the end of the day, we don't really appreciate what Kabbalah is. But I think the lesson here is so important, and that is, and this is something that I think the Hasidim, you know, really got right, and the Sfardim really got right as well, that to appreciate something that's there, even if we don't really understand it. And this is something that sometimes, you know, we Ashkenazim, sometimes we, the Kalta Litvak, so to speak, have a hard time swallowing. You know, this, because we're used to understanding. We're people, we're analytical. We're used to understanding, not that they're not analytical, they are, But you know, to us, if we can't understand it, we can't quantify it, we can't describe it, then you know, we have a hard time with it. But the Hasidim and the Sfardim really got this right because they understood that there's something holy, there's something illuminating. This is the Pnimius, the Or HaTorah. That's what this really is, and it's there even if we don't understand it. But it's there, and we need to appreciate it. And just to conclude, there's the Bnei Yisachar also says that this is also part of the reason why there's a minhag to shoot bows and arrows. You look at the Hasidish Rebbes are shooting bows and arrows. They give out bows and arrows to the kids in school. You know, Baruch Hashem, just the suction cup ones that are safe. But you know, what's the idea behind this? So he writes also that the bow, a rainbow specifically, as it says in the Zohar, is a simon hisgalus or shel melech ha-mashiach, is a sign of the coming of Mashiach, asher yigla ha-or kitov ha-ganus. And I think also this is the same idea, that Mashiach is one of those things that, you know, we have to believe. It's one of those things that we can't see. It's something we can't put our finger on. But we believe it. We've been believing it for centuries. And we continue to believe it even though we can't see it, even though we can't put our finger on it. Just like that Pnimius HaTorah, just like that the Kabbalah, just like the Zohar, all of these mystical ideas that we can't quite understand, but believing that they're there, appreciating them, and celebrating them, that's what it's all about. And finally, just in the last 2 minutes to wrap up, part of the idea perhaps of the rainbow, not just that what the Bnei Yisachar says, but part of the rainbow also is recognizes our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As the Ramban says, that he says in Parshas Noach, the reason why the rainbow was created as this sign, the simon of the Os Bris, this bris that we have with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, he will never again destroy the world with a flood. So the Ramban says, if you look at it, the Ramban says that it's like an upside down bow. And in those days, the warriors who shot bows and arrows when they wanted to give up, they wanted to surrender. So what would they do? They would turn their bow upside down. They would turn their bow backwards, upside down, to show we're at peace. So this is an upside down bow. A rainbow is an upside down bow. Hashem is not holding the bow towards us to shoot at us, chas v'shalom. He's holding it backwards to show he's at peace with us. This is our connection with Hashem. And then finally, the pasuk in Parshas Vayechi, where Yaakov is giving the brachos to his sons, and he says, and Unklos translates kashti as uvevausi. The kashti also can refer to tefillah. And that's also our connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is the same idea, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu also is the ultimate. We don't see Him. We can't really appreciate Him. But to recognize that He's there, to recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there, that's the foundation of our faith. And as we celebrate Lag BaOmer and celebrate the Pnimius HaTorah and the Kabbalah that we can't quite understand, and we hope and continue to daven for Mashiach that we can't quite see, we have to also make sure that this strengthens our emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who we can't see and we can't feel and we can't sense, but knowing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there, feeling that He's there throughout our lives. And Mirtz Hashem, I wish all of you a tremendously happy Lag BaOmer, recognizing all of these ideas and truly feeling close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on this day.